We will find our first scripture reading at Judges chapter 8, verse 4, and it reads as follows. By this time, Gideon and his 300 men had come to the River Jordan and had crossed it. They were exhausted, but still pursuing the enemy. This is the word of the Lord. May you bless it. Amen.
The Gospel according to St. John chapter 4, reading from verse 7 to verse 15. Sifumene ke ngolwimi lesixhosa ifundeka ke ngolu hlobo. Kufika intokazi yela maSamaria isiza kukha amanzi. Athi uYesu kuyo, ndiphe ndisele. Kuba abafundi bakhe bebamke baya kuthenga ukudla emzini apho. Ithe ngoko intokazi engumSamaria kazi kuye. Uthini na wena ungumYuda nje? Ukucela kum into eselwayo ndingumSamaria kazi nje kuba asinabudlelwane namaYuda namaSamaria. Waphendula uYesu wathi kuyo, ukuba ubusazi isipho sikaThixo nokuba ngubani na lo othi kuwe ndiphe ndisele ungeucele kuye wena wokupha amanzi aphilileyo. Ithi intokazi kuye, Nkosi, akunanto yokukha nequla linzulu, uwazuza phina ke amanzi aphilileyo lawo. Wena umkhulu yini na kunobawo wethu uYakobi, awusinikayo iqula eli wayesela kulo yena nabantwana bakhe nemfuyo yakhe. Waphendula uYesu wathi kuyo, bonke abasela kulamanzi abaya kubuya banxanwe. Ke yena othe wasela kuwo amanzi endiya kumpha wona mna akasayi kuza anxanwe naphakade. Aya kusuka amanzi endiya kumpha wona abe ngumthombo kuye wamanzi ampompozela ebomini obungunaphakade. Ithe intokazi kuye, Nkosi, ndiphe lo manzi ukuze ndinganxanwa ndingezi nokuza kukha apha. Eli lilizwi likaThixo.
We have gathered here in the Joburg North Circuit to open our district. But Mfundisi Umdoda, we gather to open, and we gathered last year in South Rand Circuit, where we had our convention. And uMongameli, through his presidential address, gave us a way forward for this movement. And we are still under that theme. My job is not to deliver a theme. The theme of the Wesley Guild is delivered when we gather at the convention. And when we gathered in South Rand, the president said to us, reimagining our identity, sustaining hope and healing in our distressed community. My job this morning, as I said, will not be to deliver a theme, but to deliver a message to the young people of Central District as we venture on this road of sustaining hope and healing in our distressed community. Now, we have read from two scripture readings. With the second scripture reading, I'm sure you are very familiar with it because it was the lectionary reading last week. I will not dive too much into that one. But I have chosen a very difficult scripture, Mfundisi, in the Old Testament, because I believe the verse in itself is a sermon. It is so packed that after just reading the verse, ungahlala phansi. The text of Judges gives no indication as to who wrote the book. But Jewish tradition names the prophet Samuel as the author, the namesake of 1 and 2 Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges, one of the special leaders whom God raised up during the time period to rescue his people. The judges did not oversee merely legal matters as we understand a judge to do, but they were often tasked with duties that included seeing the military and administrative authority as well. Now, why is it that Samuel is suspected to have been the author of this book? The author of Judges certainly lived in the early days of the monarchy. Now, if you read in Judges 17, verse 6, Judges 19, verse 1, Judges 21, verse 25, there is a recurring statement that says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Clues within Judges suggest that it was written before David established his throne in Jerusalem, yet after Saul was anointed king. Now, we think of the book of Judges as both a period of time and a book in the Bible. The period of Judges began after the death of Joshua in the early 14th century and continued until Saul was crowned the king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. The book of Judges acts as the sequel to the book of Joshua, linked by comparable accounts of Joshua's death. Events in the book of Judges span the geographical breadth of the nation, happening in a variety of cities, towns, and battlefields. Now, scholars believe some of the judges ruled simultaneously in separate geographical regions, and attempts to calculate the exact amount of time covered in the judges are incomparable. The time of Judges brought about great renunciation in Israel. The nation underwent political and religious turmoil as the people tried to possess those parts of the land that had not yet been fully conquered. The tribes fought amongst themselves as well, nearly wiping out the tribes of Manasseh and Benjamin. Now, the pattern of behavior in the book of Judges is very clear, young people. The people rebelled through idolatry and disbelief. God brought judgment through foreign oppression, yet God still raised an individual amongst them to fight for them and deliver them. In this book, we then meet great men and women of faith. And one of these is Gideon, a flawed individual who answered God's call to deliver the Israelites. But yet this book includes many of the most graphic, violent, and disturbing scenes in all of Scripture. Some in the name of righteousness, others in the name of evil. I believe we are very familiar with such a society ourselves. The key message of the period of Judges is that God listened to the cries for mercy by his people and yet raised up leaders to deliver them. Unfortunately, even these godly individuals did not wield sufficient influence to change the nation's direction. Compared with some of the other judges who were ruling Israel, Gideon seems to get a lot of coverage. Because when we read about other judges, they would get half a chapter. Yet when we read of Gideon, we read of Gideon through more than one chapter. Now, Gideon comes from the smallest and least tribes and received a call from God to take on the Midianites. And now the Midianites had depleted all of Israel's supplies. He was the youngest of a poor family from the tribe of Manasseh. Gideon, the son of Joash, was the man whom God chose to deliver Israel. Now, in the scripture that we have read, we come across Gideon ready to cross the River Jordan. He crosses the River Jordan in pursuit of his enemies, exhausted but pursuing. Our message for closing this opening is that we are exhausted, but we are pursuing. We are exhausted, but we are still pursuing. God has placed before us a mission to bring healing to our distressed communities, exhausted, but we must pursue that mission. Mungameli, I find that these days, when we greet each other, there is a question that is How are you? This question that is, how are you, no longer carries weight in it. It is done as an act of greeting and the tradition of greeting. We do not take the time to stop and hear the response to the question, how are you? You find that the person who is asking, how are you, by the time you answer, has moved on to the next person. Therefore, the question, how are you, has no weight. But I want to put my head on the chopping block and suggest that if I were to ask the question, how are you, the answer that I will receive is, I am tired. The answer that I will receive is, I am exhausted. Looking at what we have been through in the last few years, one can confidently say that as a people, we are tired. We have been through the COVID, we are tired. We have been through economy recession, we are tired. We've been through repo rate increases, we are tired. We've been through fuel increases, we are tired. We have been through loss of lives of loved ones and those close to us, but we are tired. We have been through loss of jobs and we are tired. We have been through loss of relationships, we are tired. We've been through depression and anxiety. Yes, we are tired. Through all of it, with the fatigue that we carry, through all of it, the president comes to us and says that we must go into a distressed community and bring healing and transformation. Yet we are a tired people. We are expected to bring a word of hope unto many nations, yet we ourselves are a tired movement. And many of us also seek God Himself to come and release us from this fatigue that we have. How do we move from this space when we come to God, yet we ourselves are in need of God to relieve us from this fatigue? How do we move from this space to go unto these communities as the president directs us, when the spaces we are in are spaces of fatigue? Now, let's reflect a bit on what brings us fatigue. And the danger is that, Mfundisi, we never take time to sit and reflect. And reflect on the things that bring us fatigue. Can I suggest that there's even a greater danger? That some of us are on automatic mode, we are not even aware of the fact that we are fatigued. We come into ministry and we move with it. We come to the movement and we move with it. We don't take the time. We go into automatic mode to do the things of God. Yet we don't stop to check how we are doing. Now the exercise we did yesterday was exactly that. We wanted us as seconds to stop and say, how is it with us? To genuinely ask the question, how are you? Because we never take the time to stop and reflect how we are doing. And there's no dangerous space like that space where you don't stop to see where you are and what is going on with you. The other dangerous part is that many of us, we are fatigued because we take ownership of God's work. Now understand me, it is very good to go into God's work and to give of yourself. The danger is taking ownership. Many of us believe that if we are not there, nothing will happen. And we find ourselves exhausting ourselves because we even diminish God to think that the things of God will not happen when we are not there. We wonder why we walk around so fatigued. It's because we have even undermined the God who's supposed to empower us. Many societies and circuits have closed because of people who own the Wesley Guild. Who do not want to open spaces for other people to lead. But in the process, they don't see that they are killing themselves. And the danger of fatigue is that when you are fatigued, you fight the wrong battles. You
You enter into battles that are unnecessary. But we are not like Gideon, who is fighting a battle that belongs to God. And fatigue blinds us to the war that God has called us to. Fatigue blinds us to the mission that we are supposed to be on. We end up fighting about unnecessary things. We have a general meeting and you look at these people fighting and you wonder, why are we fighting? The fatigue has set in. We don't see the battle that we are called to fight. And we fight amongst each other. Now, there's another area I want to talk about. Some of us get fatigued by things we have no business being fatigued with. Singeni indaba zabantu ezingasifuni ithini. Sisindwe imithwalo engasifuni ithini. Ukuthi ubani ujola nobani ayifuni wena. Ustwesa umthwalo worrying about things that have nothing to do with you. You walk around fatigued because you are carrying things that have nothing to do with you. You walk around being in spaces that have nothing to do with you. You have carried a burden that ought not to be on you. In the second scripture reading that we have read, Jesus comes to this woman. But the scripture says he sat by the well because Jesus was tired. He was fully man, fully God. He was tired. You are fully man and you are given his mission by him and you expect not to be tired. Yet the one who has called you was tired. We need to come to the well and sit down. Sometimes we become so busy with the things of God that we remove God out of them. You find that I say not Tolento. God left this long time ago because we have not sat by the well. And I want to tell you, young people, there is a great thing about sitting by the well. When you come to the well, you find that the giver of life is by the well. And he speaks about living waters that he's going to give us. The reason sometimes we are unable to continue, the reason sometimes that this fatigue has set in, the reason that this fatigue has blinded us is because we have not come to the well and sat down to receive the living waters from the one who has called us. And now we find ourselves standing by the Jordan and we need to cross over because the enemy is the other side. But we need to come back and receive power from the one who has called us. Now the danger is this. Are we creating spaces within this movement where people can come and experience the living waters of God? Are we creating spaces where people can come and worship God in spirit and in truth? Or are we creating an environment that is so toxic that continues to take from its members? And we say to these members, go out and give of yourselves, allow your cup to fill other cups. Yet the space that we gather in does not fill their cups. Are we creating spaces for those who do not belong to this movement? When they look at us from outside, they say, I can see God working in this movement and I therefore want to be part of this mission. Are we creating a space where other soldiers of God who see us on the same mission like Gideon are saying they are also not fearful? They want to join us so that we can achieve the things that God has called for us to do. Which generation are we? Are we a generation that is sitting to hear from the world, or are we a generation that is sitting and waiting to hear from God? Young people, many spaces that we sit in dehydrate us. You know the spaces where you sit that dehydrate you. You know the spaces that you sit in that take from you. You need to move from those spaces. You need to move from those spaces. And some of those spaces are even in this movement. We sit in those spaces. Gideon comes to the River Jordan and is exhausted. But he understands the agenda. He understands the agenda. Umsebenzi kaThixo must go on. But we need our cups to be filled first, young people. We cannot move on and be soldiers who are fighting for God, yet we do not sit with the same God. Have we found those areas in our lives that are dry? Let us go back. Let us go back to those areas and open them up. For if we open it up, it will heal. The danger about following Christ is that we expect the journey to be easy. We expect ourselves to be different from those who also receive hardships. But the enemy is at hand. There is nothing more dangerous than a Christian who does not realize that they're in a war. The world is not waiting for you so they can clap hands for you. The world is not waiting to pronounce Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The world is in its own war, where kings are being declared, where rulers are being declared, yet the people of God sit. The people of God themselves are being attacked by the enemy, yet the people of God sit. The young people are in a world that seeks to capture them, but the people of God who are young sit. We must realize the war that we are in and we must fight it. The president calls us to bring the healing of God. But I suspect, Mfundisi, that we need to find the healing for ourselves in these spaces. We need to call upon God to heal us and strengthen us. For the word of God says, those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. We are exhausted, but we are still pursuing the love of God. We are exhausted, but we are still pursuing the agenda of God. Go back to your spaces in your circuits and bring transformation and bring the healing of God to your members so that our cups are filled and we can go and empty them into the world. So that through encounters with each and every one of us, the people of God can say, I too have seen the Lord. But I also sense a burden of not only physical fatigue. There are many of us who are spiritually tired. There are many who are emotionally tired. And some have even forgotten themselves in their service to God. Some sit and they think they are invisible to God. I want you to bring that fatigue to God. I want you to open up your heart to God so that God can renew your strength. It is not easy to go out into the world and spread the message of God, especially if we are broken and wounded ourselves. This is the space where we receive that healing. This is the space where we declare that healing. It is the space where we declare that power over our lives. I know we've been very excited, but I want us to be in a worshipful mode and ask those who seek the healing of God, who are weary, to come to God. We're going to sing a song, and those who are tired are going to come before the throne of God. I'm going to ask you, Mfundisi Ngcayisa, to pray for these young people who are coming to God and saying, I am tired, but I see the River Jordan, and I want to cross over. For you, O God, have called me.